It's What's New from WBAA Classical and WBAA.org. I'm John Clare. There isn't a great deal of Americana being written in serious terms nowadays. That is what he said. That is what Aaron Copland said. He said, "The boys have gotten very interested in new kinds of harmony suggested by the 12-tone method of Arnold Schoenberg." We'll hear music from early and late in Aaron Copland's career on today's What's New. Copland's reputation as a radical was sealed in 1925. Walter Damrosch conducted the New York premiere of Aaron's Symphony for Organ and Orchestra. After the performance, Damrosch turned to the audience and said, "Ladies and gentlemen, it seems evident that when the gifted young American who wrote this symphony can compose at the age of 23 a work like this one, it seems evident that in 5 years more he will be ready to commit murder." Let's start with Copland's final work, his duo for flute and piano. It was written in 1971. Copland wrote that the work was naturally influenced by the fact that I was composing for Kincaid's students, not for future generations, although I hoped younger flutists would play the duo eventually. Also, I was using material from earlier sketches in my notebooks, and that may have influenced the style of the piece. For example, the beginning of the first movement, which opens with a solo passage for flute, recalls the first movement of my third symphony. The duo for flute and piano is in three movements. The first is marked flowing, the second movement called poetic, somewhat mournful, and the third movement is lively, with bounce. Fenwick Smith is joined by Randall Hodgkinson at the keyboard on What's New. Aaron Copland's duo from 1971, featuring Fenwick Smith and Randall Hodgkinson on What's New. Find out more at WBAA.org, including our playlist and podcast. That's WBAA.org. We'll head back to 1936 for our next work. The Sextet is the same composition as his Symphony No. 2, the Short Symphony. Copland was frustrated that his Short Symphony was considered too difficult by arranging it for sextet. He hoped it would get more performances. As Aaron predicted, the terrors of both versions have worn off for players as well as audience. These days, the sextet is highly admired and is considered to be one of Copland's finest accomplishments. Copland said, "One learns to have patience." Here's Inhaque and Friends playing The Sextet by Aaron Copland. The Sextet by Aaron Copland. It's also his second symphony, the Short Symphony. We heard Inhaque and Friends on What's New. Find out more at WBAA.org. I'm your host, John Clare. Aaron Copland said, "When I originally agreed to compose the piano sonata, I'd asked playwright Clifford Odets, 'Is a dedication and a presentation of the manuscript worth $500 to you? It would take me about 2 months to write, I think.' Cliff agreed and promptly sent half the commission. One robbery, several interruptions, and almost 3 years later, the sonata was ready. Copland's manuscript had been in some luggage that was stolen one night as he prepared to travel to Tanglewood for the summer. Luckily, he had played some of it for a friend, and he reconstructed from memory what he had written." From 1941, let's hear Aaron Copland's Piano Sonata. Performing is Mark Anderson. Mark Anderson playing Aaron Copland's Piano Sonata on What's New. I'm John Clare. Find out more about this show and find playlists and podcasts at WBAA.org. It's What's New from WBAA Classical and WBAA.org. I'm your host, John Clare. Two pieces for violin and piano, which Copland wrote in 1926 for himself and violinist Samuel Dushkin to play, is a chance to see him playing with new ideas, including a fascination with jazz. This is a score that is bitonal, that is, in more than one key at the same time, most likely influenced by Darius Milhaud. In his ukulele serenade, Aaron is having a good time to make the fiddle sound like something it's not. Let's hear Bill Terwilliger and Andrew Cooperstock in the Ukulele Serenade by Aaron Copland on What's New. Ukulele Serenade, the second of two pieces for violin and piano by Aaron Copland, written back in 1926. We heard Bill Terwilliger and Andrew Cooperstock on What's New. There's more at WBAA.org, including playlists and podcasts. I had no intention of composing a song cycle, Aaron Copland said. Copland's interest in the Dickinson poems began with The Chariot, and eventually he added others. 12 Poems of Emily Dickinson is Copland's longest work for solo voice. Copland said, "Each song is meant to be complete in itself, but I prefer them to be sung as a cycle. They seem to have a cumulative effect." The songs are dedicated to his composer friends, including David Diamond, Elliot Carter, Alberto Ginastera, Lucas Foss, and Arthur Berger. Joyce DiDonato sings Aaron Copland's 12 Poems of Emily Dickinson with David Zobel at the keyboard on What's New. Going to heaven, I don't know when. Pray do not ask me how. Indeed, I'm too astonished to think of answering you. Joyce DiDonato singing 12 Poems of Emily Dickinson with David Zobel. Music by Aaron Copland on this What's New from WBAA. I'm your host, John Clare. Find out more at WBAA.org. Virgil Thompson, composer and critic, called Aaron Copland's violin sonata one of its author's most satisfying pieces. It has a quality at once of calm elevation and of buoyancy that is characteristic of Copland and is irresistibly touching. It comes from 1943 and is dedicated to the memory of Lieutenant Harry H. Dunham, a friend of Copland's who was killed in active duty in the South Pacific. We'll hear violinist Gil Shaham with Andre Previn play the violin sonata by Aaron Copland on What's New. Andre Previn piano, and Gil Shaham violin, in the violin sonata by Aaron Copland. It's a work composed at intervals during 1942 and 1943, partly in New York City and partly in Hollywood. Learn more at WBAA.org. What's New is a production of WBAA Classical, a listener-supported broadcast service of Purdue University. Production assistance from Erica Yon and Kevin Howard. The content director and executive producer is Greg Castraba. I'm your host and producer, John Clare. Thanks for listening to What's New.